Chapter 14. Having listened to Jackman's story, Superintendent Ruth Crook sat back and folded her arms. So he actually gained access to your... She paused for a moment, unsure of what to call Laura Archer. She knew that she and Jackman were in a relationship, but how serious were they? Gained access to Laura's apartment and her consulting rooms, as in, he forced an entry?
He did, ma'am. He picked the lock, then proceeded to video himself and downloaded the file onto Laura's laptop.
Is there any way IT can assist with that, Rowan? Could the file be traced back to his phone, or am I being naive?
Ashcroft is too clever for that, ma'am. He used the camera, not his mobile, and downloaded the clip directly from an SDHC card. Thought I was clutching at straws. Tracing his phone would have been far too easy.
Ruth was starting to feel the pressure. Apart from drafting in several armed units from other forces to help with the threat from the sniper, the chief was already suggesting they request the help of a serious crime squad from HQ, but she was reluctant to do that. She had been here before with Ashcroft, and dearly wanted to see those he had targeted and intimidated for so long have the satisfaction of bringing him down themselves.
I can assign someone to watch Laura if you think it appropriate, Rowan.
Jackman drew in a long breath.
He did say they would soon meet face to face, but I don't think it's Laura who is really in his sights. Yes, by getting to her, he gets to me, but for some reason I believe that in destroying her sanctuary, he has achieved what he set out to do. He has invaded her personal space and infected it with his evil presence. I reckon he'll consider that enough of a victory and will move on.
Suppose Ashcroft becomes angry that she ignored his warning and told you what he'd done, she suggested.
To be honest, Ruth, I think that could earn her his respect. He preys on people's weaknesses, as well we know, and Laura has shown strength in going against him. I believe he'll admire that.
So, shall I get someone to keep an eye on her, or not?
I want to say yes for obvious reasons, but I'm certain he'll move on to someone else now. And uniform are keeping a close eye on all police personnel.
Well, if you're really sure, Jackman.
Ruth made a mental note to make everyone aware that Laura Archer had been singled out for attention by the killer. It wouldn't hurt to have a few more eyes watching her.
And the shooter, Rowan. Are you any further forward regarding him?
Ruth watched him, noting his apparent reluctance to answer.
Hesitantly, he said, as you know, we are checking all ex-military and police personnel who have known psychological disorders along with expertise with rifles of that sort, but...
Ruth was beginning to grow impatient.
That gun club keeps haunting me. The Fenside gun club belonging to Mr. Kenneth Harcourt, whose own guns were stolen. The second victim was the armourer there for several years. He was killed by the same make of gun that he would have used when he was in the armed forces.
Jackman sighed.
I don't understand the links, but they do exist, I'm sure of it.
He hesitated again.
Am I being paranoid? Or is it just too much of a coincidence that all this is happening at the exact same time as Ashcroft chooses to suddenly reappear?
Ruth gave him a tight-lipped smile.
Not at all. That's what I have been thinking since day one.
Jackman exhaled.
That's a relief. I was beginning to think I was becoming obsessed with him, believing him to be responsible for every single thing that happens.
I believe he might have orchestrated all these events to coincide with his return. Don't forget, he's a manipulator. He loves to pull the strings. Planting a sniper in our midst and throwing us into turmoil is just the type of scenario he would revel in.
Ruth was gratified that Jackman had considered the possibility. It justified her faith in him.
If he used a gopher to deliver that photograph and wreath to Marie's address, he could just as easily hire an assassin, don't you think? We know he's got the money.
I agree. And if it's all right with you, we'll pursue that line of inquiry. If we can track the kid Marie nearly caught and lean on him, we might get some information on where Ashcroft is operating from, and maybe what he looks like now. He could well have changed his appearance, which is why he's been able to move around the town undetected.
Go with that,
Ruth said, and keep me updated every inch of the way. She watched Jackman leave, relieved that he seemed more positive than of late. Ashcroft had the power to destroy those who came under his influence, and she didn't want that happening to Rowan Jackman, or any of those under her command, for that matter. She didn't always show it, in fact she rarely showed any form of emotion, but she was fiercely proud of her officers. It was just not like them to be doing their jobs while looking over their shoulders, fearful of the slightest movement.
Bugger, Marie cursed.
They were on their way back to Salton le Fen.
It just dawned on me that I forgot to take a look at Jacob, check whether it was him that hung the wreath on my tiger. I got so caught up in talking to Esther.
Kevin shrugged. He looked like any other light teen, scrawny, scruffy hair, kind of fairish light brown, and bad skin.
Pity I never got to check his complexion while I was chasing his butt for half a mile, grumbled Marie.
Can't see it being him, Sarge, Charlie said. He's too, well, too simple to even get your address right. All he cares about are animals. I'm betting Ashcroft chose a street kid, one of the streetwise ones.
Charlie's right, Sarge, said Kevin. If you talked to him, you'd have seen what we meant.
I will. We have to go back and see Paul and Levi.
Marie had become quite fascinated by this family.
And I want to meet Cousin Ezra, the clever one, said Charlie.
Actually, I rang in and had them run a background check on Ezra Lorimer, said Kevin. I don't think he's that bright, because he's been hauled in for questioning several times by the Hull police. No convictions, but he's definitely considered one to watch.
What kind of crime? Asked Marie.
Mainly handling stolen goods, and one suggestion of being connected to a small-time fraud scam. Nothing heavy and nothing conclusive.
Kevin stared out of the window at the never-ending fields.
But if the Lorimers are squeaky clean, they could do without visitations from dubious family members.
Dead right, said Marie. Those boys are vulnerable and seem easily open to suggestion, I reckon, wouldn't you? She scowled.
Esther mentioned that Ezra always had money and paid his way. So where did he get it from? Ill-gotten gains?
Wouldn't surprise me, said Kevin.
By the way, did you guys get the impression that the family were rather in awe of him? Charlie nodded. Marie, too.
Esther looked quite wistful when she spoke about him. She said she loved talking to him.
Maybe we ought to go back at close of play today. What do you think? We should catch the rest of the family if we call around tea time.
I'm going to have to pass on that, Sarge, Kevin pulled a face. I've got a whole load of reports to write up before I leave tonight.
I'm free, Sarge, Charlie said, and I'm more than happy to meet the rest of the family.
Okay, we'll report our findings to Jackman and aim to get back out there around 6.
They were now in Salton. Part of her was scared they were wasting time. Ashcroft was on the loose, along with a gunman. But another part told her she should persist with the Lorimers.
"Can you drop me at the end of the High Street, Sarge?" Kevin asked. "I'll walk the rest of the way in. There's someone I'd like a word with, and he's generally hanging around that area."
"Of course, but watch your back, Kevin. The super has asked all officers to move around in pairs for safety's sake."
"It's all right, Sarge, I'll be careful."
She pulled into a parking space just before the High Street to let Kevin out.
"Remember, eyes wide open."
He gave her a mock salute, then loped off towards the main shopping area.
"I'm looking forward to him joining us in CID," said Charlie. "He's a good bloke. I like him, don't you, Sarge?"
"I do."
She glanced across at Charlie.
"I'm guessing you're missing having Max around all the time. You two were like Batman and Robin."
Charlie nodded.
"Don't tell him, will you? I wish Max was back full time. We bounced off each other perfectly. And I feel a bit at a loss when he's not here."
Marie smiled.
"I won't say a word, Charlie. And I understand what you mean. Life moves on, I guess. And now he's a dad. He has different priorities."
"I understand. I'm just being selfish, really."
"Maybe Kevin will fill the gap," said Marie. "I get the feeling he'll fit in a treat."
Marie drew into the police station, still mulling over their visit to Rachel Lorimer. She kept hearing Noah say that their mother told them they didn't need friends. They had each other, then almost in the same breath that Jacob hated Levi and didn't speak to him. She thought about her own mother and father, estranged, yes, but still filling her life with love and happiness. And they had encouraged her to make friends. Why would Rachel not want her children to socialize? Was she hiding something in that tiny kingdom of hers? Robbie Melton had been going out with Ella Jarvis for over a year now. It was not too serious. Neither demanded much of the other. They just had fun. Ella was a forensic photographer in the Soko team and a favourite of Professor Wilkinson. Of late, Robbie had been wondering where the relationship was going. Would it ever get more serious? He wasn't exactly sure what he wanted. He was fond of Ella, but did he feel more than that? And if not, what then?
Any chance of getting an answer any time soon?
Robbie looked up to see Gary Pritchard staring at him curiously.
You were well away with the fairies, Robbie. Anything I can help with?
Robbie grinned at his friend.
Daydreaming, mate. I'm trying to answer the unanswerable.
Sounds a bit weird, if you don't mind me saying,
Gary said.
Now, back to my question. Would you like a coffee?
I fancy a tea, actually.
Robbie felt in his pocket.
And it's my turn. You bought the last round.
He passed a handful of change across his desk.
And a packet of crisps, please. Any flavour.
Marie and Charlie walked in while Gary was putting their drinks on the desk. Marie went straight to Jackman's office and Charlie flopped into his chair.
Charlie boy, how did your trip to the Twilight Zone go?
Robbie called out.
Interesting. There's this old crow of a matriarch lording it over a rundown farm. A brood of oddballs who incidentally all own rifles, well, with one exception, and a visiting cousin who is under the watchful eye of the Hull police for possible handling of stolen goods. How's that for starters?
Anything else?
Gary asked, smiling.
As if that's not enough, two of the sons live in their own static. There was a distinct whiff of diesel floating around, and they all own sleeveless hoodies, like the one the Sarge ripped off her running man the other night.
Blimey!
Gary's eyes widened.
Robbie frowned. They didn't have pigs on this farm, did they, by any chance?
Oh, yes, pigs, sheep, a couple of cows, chickens, ducks, a donkey, and a beautiful horse. That was the nicest thing I saw in the whole visit.
What?
Robbie jumped up.
Hang on. What kind of horse?
Charlie shrugged.
I don't know. It was just a big, handsome horse. Why?
There was a horse theft, didn't you hear? A guy called Bullymore had his best breeding horse stolen last night. I've just got back from talking to him.
He rifled around on his desk and found a photograph.
Did it look like this?
He held the picture up.
Could be.
Charlie squinted at the photo.
I only caught a glimpse of it, and I don't know a thing about horses. Come to think of it, I don't think that lad Jacob wanted me to see it. He closed the stable door really fast when he saw me taking a butcher's inside.
I'll bet he bloody did,
Robbie growled.
That horse is worth thousands.
He made for the door.
I have to tell the boss about this. Come in.
Charlie got up.
The sergeant and I were going to go back when the shift finishes. Looks like we have a good reason to now, doesn't it?
And I'm coming too. I have a vested interest in getting that horse back to its owner. Bullymore is a friend of Jackman's mother.
They went to Jackman's office. On hearing their story, Jackman said,
Too much of a coincidence to ignore. I can't see a family like the Lorimers owning a horse of that calibre. Take a picture of it on your phone, Robbie, and send it to Clay Bullymore. If he confirms that it is his, then we'll organise a horse box and get it collected. Have you got his number?
Yes, boss.
Marie, go now. If it is Bullymore's horse, what did you call it? Nimbus? And that boy Jacob realised Charlie had clocked him. They could be moving him out as we speak.
Marie jumped up.
Charlie, Robbie, with me.
Animal Farm, here we come. As they left his office, Robbie was sure he heard Jackman muttering something about all animals being equal.